Socialists don't always win. Recently, in New York, though, a charismatic young socialist, supported by both DSA and working families, running on a platform of affordable housing, publicly owned grocery stores, and more mental health responders instead of cops, actually won the Democratic primary. In a firmly blue city, in a firmly blue state, that's usually the end of the story. But then, in November, India Walton lost the general election. Back in 2021, Buffalo, New York re-elected centrist Democrat Byron Brown as the mayor. After losing the primary to a DSA candidate, Buffalo's establishment freaked out. Millionaires, real estate moguls, Republican donors, all terrified by the prospect of a politician they hadn't completely bought and paid for running a major city, formed a united front basically overnight and swept Brown into office on a write-in campaign and a mountain of establishment money. Despite losing the Democratic nomination, Brown won the general. And there are a lot of reasons this upset happened. For starters, while Brown quickly got to work outspending India Walton and pretending he suddenly wasn't a Democrat after 30 years with the party, the top party brass like Chuck Schumer took their sweet time endorsing the candidate actually running on their ticket. Some, like Kathy Hochul, the governor of the state, never even did. There was no vote blue no matter who mass mobilizing like we see every 4 years for the presidency. The party left Walton out to dry, and that meant that even though Brown was notoriously corrupt to the point the FBI was looking into his entourage, that poverty in Buffalo was going up, and that the racial wealth and homeownership gap was one of the worst in the country after 15 years of Brown being mayor, or even just the fact that he simply filed too late and couldn't legally be on the ballot and so he needed help from the district judge, the brother of one of his top donors, none of that ultimately mattered. Buffalo got bombarded with Brown ads and door knockers and mailers. Meanwhile, Walton's life got put under the microscope. And the best the media could come up with, by the way, was that she did $300 worth of food stamp fraud at 21, 18 years before the election, didn't show up to court one time because her summons was sent to the wrong address, and at one point posted a, frankly, really good Facebook comment. Compared to a corrupt, pro-oligarchy guy making life more expensive for regular Buffalonians and doing nothing about inequality and city water being a glorified lead distribution network, come on. But the Buffalo elite wanted Brown, and Brown is what they got. On December 31st, he was sworn in and got an extra 3 years as mayor of New York's second largest city, until he resigned to be CEO of a horse betting company or something. But if it wasn't obvious already, this isn't a video about Buffalo. We're talking about Zoran. Zoran Mamdani is not running to be mayor of the second biggest city in New York. He is a candidate in the race for the biggest city in the country. The rich came for Walton's head in Buffalo, but Zoran's in the financial and cultural capital of the world. That's not gonna cut it. They're gonna need him to be obliterated. Before we get to the rest of the video, I want to take a quick second to do a shameless plug for our Patreon. If you're not interested or you're unable to support the channel, feel free to skip ahead to this timestamp. I'll get straight to the point. Content like ours is not rewarded by the YouTube algorithm. This is a corporate platform. We are outspokenly anti-corporate. Because of this, YouTube ad revenue represents a tiny and shrinking sliver of our channel's income. The vast majority comes from grassroots support on Patreon, from people who believe in our cause and are willing to directly fund Second Thought and keep us afloat. Because of the generosity of people like you, YouTube could completely demonetize our channel and we'd be able to keep producing these videos. That being said, people's financial situations change, and with how the economy is looking right now for the average person, the Patreon has definitely taken a hit. If you're in a position to chip in a few dollars a month to support the channel, we would greatly appreciate it. As a little show of that appreciation, every patron, regardless of pledge amount, gets early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord server. We've got everything from a book club to a recommended reading list to educated users ready to answer whatever questions you have about socialism. I even try to do a live Q&A every now and then. It's a really great place to hang out, and I hope you'll come check it out. So, if you'd like to support the channel, join the Discord, and get early access to every video, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. Your support really does make a huge difference. Okay. Back to the video. There is, I think, a real fear among the rich and powerful that a whisper of socialist success here could be a warning shot for their way of life everywhere. Just look at them freaking out. Our goal is anybody but Mamdani. Fighting Mamdani is expensive, but allowing him to win will cost you more. This tragedy is not just a moment of mourning, it's a call to reject policies that would make our city even more vulnerable. Every single one of his plans will hurt the very people that he thinks it will help. If he's the cure to what ails the party, then cyanide is the cure for a headache.
Look, it's blatantly obvious that the field needs to narrow or Mamdani will win. And I think that's a disaster for this city because we are the capital of capitalism and we need to remain that way.
Next week in New York, there's a chance that socialism could actually finally win big electorally and make daily life for some 8 million working class people actually bearable. This is exciting, but there's just this little voice in the back of my head that's scared because this story is looking just a little too similar to what we've seen before. A shock upset in the primary, a centrist with the worst track record still fighting after losing badly, top Democrats taking forever to endorse the winner or mobilize voters. Meanwhile, random dirt about petty bullshit like stolen tables and college applications makes the rounds in the media. They are trying to run back the Walton strategy, but it's not going to work. And I think they know that, and I think that's making them more desperate. As of writing, just about every poll is showing a Zoran win. This one even shows what could happen if everyone but Sliwa, everyone but Adams, and everyone but Cuomo drops out and they all unite behind one guy. In every single hypothetical, Zoran comes out on top, no matter what everyone else does. We're editing this script after Adams dropped out for real, and still Zoran is in the lead. And then there's clips like these.
I was a bit hesitant actually to take this interview because I didn't want to be seen wearing this shirt because I don't particularly support Cuomo. I don't think he's a righteous guy. I think he's a bit of a morally reprehensible person. But for me, I think, you know, even though he's a bad guy, he's paying $200 a day. And even if it is like blood money from like billionaires and super PACs and, you know, not righteous causes, a guy's gotta get money. I'm sorry.
So who do you support instead?
Personally, I kind of stand behind Zoran Mamdani.
I don't think anything, any poll, is going to explain how cooked everyone else is better than this. Actually, you don't even need a long explanation, just these 3 seconds. I think these clips, these polls, this primary, they prove something. Zoran showed Democrats that there is a path to victory, and that path is real working-class politics. From a guy that's actually invested and doesn't just talk about vague stuff like rising together.
So let's rise together.
Right after Trump's victory, Zoran showed us that he's ready to give average people real consideration and power. Going to places in New York that flipped red. He didn't stick to some consultant's script. He didn't appeal to vague positivity. He gave people the mic to talk about the stuff that actually matters to them. Rent, groceries, childcare, Gaza. But he didn't stop there. Instead of carrying a message of hope without substance, like so many Democrats do, Zoran's policies actually materially address people's problems. Childcare is expensive, rent is too high, immigrant and LGBT rights are being stripped away. Here are the solutions. Easy to find, easier to understand. And all under a simple slogan. New York is too expensive. Zoran will fix that. With over 50,000 volunteers, 1.6 million doors knocked, and more votes than any other primary candidate ever, all this, it works. But for all that positivity, that voice in my head is still there because I sort of skipped over the biggest parallel with Buffalo. It's not the lack of party endorsements or the hit pieces that killed Walton's bid. The key to Brown's victory was the money. In just 4 months, Brown went from not really running a campaign to raising $850,000, mostly from the rich and powerful. And when the general election came around, his sudden vote boost didn't come from working-class neighborhoods, it came from the rich. And in New York, the anti-Zoran money isn't what's missing. It's coming from the same crowd we saw in Buffalo. Democratic cowards, Republican staples, and most predictably, the ultra-wealthy, sometimes all at once. But the scale is just different. If 850 grand in 4 months in Buffalo sounds insane, New York... New York's a whole different ballgame. You might have already seen the campaign finance statistics. Cuomo got about 5.3 million in donations. Adams, nearly 7. And Mamdani, almost 4. Big gaps and huge sums of money, but public matching has sort of evened things out. The difference, though, is that Zoran's campaign got to almost 4 million with 54,000 people donating. The other two can't even get to 10,000 donations. Their average contribution is in the hundreds of dollars and 10 times more than Mamdani's, meaning it's coming from people with a lot more money to spend. But that's not the freakout money. The freakout money isn't out in the open like this. It's in the new super PACs that keep popping up as the rich scramble for ways to shoot Mamdani down. You probably know this already, but super PACs are groups that can legally spend unlimited amounts of money on elections as long as they're not making direct contributions to a candidate and they aren't explicitly coordinating with the campaign.
Super PACs are a disaster, they're a scam, they cause dishonesty, and you better get rid of them.
The reason super PACs can spend unlimited money is because they can get unlimited money in donations, including from completely anonymous donors like 501c4s and 501c6s, what you might have heard called dark money nonprofits. These amounts aren't limited the way campaign donations are, with caps on individual donations and spending. Which is why, when you look at what a candidate gets, you see a lot of $2,100 donations. But when you look at what their super PAC gets, suddenly it's a wall of multi-million dollar receipts. And that's a different scale. For the primary alone, for example, Cuomo spent $22 million through his super PAC, Fix the City. This is an insane amount of money to have spent and still lose, but he's not done. And they're up to $27 million as of writing. Just to give you an idea, in the 2021 election, the most a super PAC had spent on the primary was $6.5 million. Already you have an idea of just how scared the rich are. The thing is, Fix the City is just one player in a sea of new PACs that are all attacking from different angles and courting the same donors. Take a random one. This guy, Jeffrey Gurl, a real estate investor. If you look at his donation record, you can see he gave Cuomo like a couple hundred bucks. Nothing crazy. That is, until you look at his donations to super PACs. This one guy gave 25 grand to Cuomo's PAC in the spring, and then another 25 grand to Adams in the fall. That's just one guy, and 25 grand is nothing. Cuomo got like $8 million from Michael Bloomberg alone. Another million from DoorDash, and then just pages of 500k to 50k, 100k donations. Let's zoom back out. Right now, there's at least 7 big super PACs on the anti-Mamdani train. For Cuomo, we've mentioned them already. You have Fix the City, but also Local Economies Forward NY, which is basically just DoorDash's separate PAC, and Housing for All, a super PAC that's just for landlords. Before he dropped out, Adams had Empower NYC and Protect the Protectors. Both of them are expected to have raised millions. Empower specifically has said they're hoping for 15. And then on top of that, there's the general anti-Zoran super PACs not affiliated with a single candidate, like Affordable New York, which is Airbnb's super PAC, and New Yorkers for a Better Future, who said they'll spend an extra $20 million against Zoran and are already raking in $500,000 donation pledges. I'm explaining campaign donations to Americans right now, and literally the rich guy is called Mr. Burger. I want to kill myself. But don't worry, hey, Mamdani has his own super PACs too. One has yet to report raising any funds, and the other has gotten a whole 700k since the primary. Not rigged at all. It's bad, but at the end of the day, I don't actually think that all this anti-Zoran money is going to be enough. He's popular. His policies are popular, and that shouldn't be surprising. The most popular politicians in the country are socialists. I don't think he's got this in the bag, but it's not like this money's doing much. And that is scary in a different way. If Cuomo loses at the polls, after the rich threw everything they could at the wall, he could go for the nuclear option.
Zorhan Mandami, who in his nomination speech said he will defy ICE and will not allow ICE to arrest criminal aliens in New York City. Your message to communist Zorhan Mandami?
Well, then we'll have to arrest him. Look, we don't need a communist in this country, but if we have one, I'm going to be watching over him very carefully on behalf of the nation.
All semblance of democracy is gone anyway. Trump said he'd get involved in the race if it looks like Mamdani will win. He's already threatened to arrest, deport, and denaturalize him. He wanted Cuomo or Adams. Either. I don't think he cares. They're both getting money from his donors anyway. He personally stepped in to get Adams cleared of federal corruption charges and is taking calls with Cuomo, who he's had a long-standing relationship with for decades. They're tight. While neither of them wanted his endorsement in a city of Democrats, they both get that this is a transactional relationship. They're representing the people scared of Zoran and telling Trump what he wants to hear to get rid of him. That they want to work together, and they wouldn't really get in the way of ICE taking over the city. They're not saying that to us, of course. Voters are getting a centrist-friendly message, that Trump is going just a little too far. But at business meetings and in these private calls, they're making sure that Trump knows they won't put up a fight. With Adams gone, Cuomo is playing his part in the fascist takeover. Capitalists want to stay in power. They're spending like their life depends on it. And until recently, they had two guys willing to let Trump run wild on a city of 3 million immigrants. That doesn't matter to them. It just means they keep their taxes low and city rents up. And look, I don't know how this election will go. And I don't know if Zoran's going to be able to get all this great stuff, all these things that he's promised, done, if he wins. I do know that there's still a strong candidate for head fascist lackey in the race. A guy who is more than ready to make New York yet another hellscape for immigrants, for working class people, and for everyone else whose rights are being stripped away. A guy cozying up to landlords and Wall Street and Trump, and ready to completely fold while more and more people are thrown in the back of a van and shipped off to some black site on the other side of the world. This is cheesy, but if you live in New York and you haven't voted early, make sure you get out there. Winning the primary was a great symbolic victory, but we are tired of settling for that. It's time for socialists to get shit done.